What a difference a week makes. What a difference a week makes. Think back to last week's gospel. In last week's gospel, Jesus asks his disciples, who do they think he is? And he's given all kinds of answers until Peter says, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And Jesus commends him and says, Peter, wasn't just you, but my Father who gave you this insight, and you, Peter, will be the rock on which I build my church. A good week for Peter, all things considered. Then this week, Jesus reveals for the first time in Matthew's gospel the prediction of his passion, death, and resurrection. Peter doesn't like this. Peter, who just got the question right, takes Jesus aside and says, you are the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one we have been waiting for, and that's not how it works. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, which means adversary. You are a scandal. Scandal in Greek is scandalon, which literally means a stumbling block. You are a stumbling block to me, Peter. In less than five verses, Peter has gone from the rock, the foundation of the church, to the block on which Jesus stumbles. Not a good week for Peter, okay? Peter at this point certainly must be a little confused. The Messiah is supposed to be this king-like figure, not one who is to suffer and die. Peter is confused. Confusion by those who follow God, by those who are friends of God, seems to be a theme throughout the readings today. In the first reading, Jeremiah, in that really remarkable reading, is confused about his role as a prophet. His expectation of what a prophet would be like is not being fulfilled, just like Peter's expectation of what the Messiah would be like is not being fulfilled. Rather than the prophet being somehow respected, he is laughed at, and he always has to talk about violence and awful things that are going to happen to the people. He is derided. People laugh at him. Jeremiah and Peter are rightfully confused because they have followed the Lord, but things are not turning out like they wanted. And there is that wonderful line at the beginning of that first reading, you duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. Other translations have it, you seduced me, O Lord, and I let myself be seduced. In the midst of the confusion, in the midst of their expectations being upturned, there is still something foundational about the way they were attracted to Jesus, to the Lord, that keeps them moving on in spite of their expectations being dashed everywhere. And in Paul's letter to the Romans in the second reading, he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. As a living sacrifice, similar to that take up your cross and follow me. Sometimes I think that taking up our cross is the taking up of the expectations that are only going to be dashed by what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Paul continues, do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. Do not be conformed, but be transformed. Once again, what you think is going to be turned upside down by the renewal of your mind. And in all this, you have to discern what the will of God is. So today, two examples of friends of God who run into confusion but somehow still follow along. What a difference a week makes. What a difference a week makes. Last week at this time, Hurricane Harvey had just come ashore in Texas. A week later, we now see the extent of the destruction. More than 50 people dead. Estimates of over 100,000 houses damaged. And it's not just in this hemisphere, not just in this part of the world, but in South Asia too. There's been a terrible monsoon in Bangladesh and India and Nepal and Pakistan. Over 1,200 people have died in that monsoon, and millions of people are affected by the flooding. What a difference a week makes. And it is strange that during this week in which we saw the violence of nature, we celebrate a day, September 1st, which in 1989 was designated by the Orthodox Church, September 1st, as the World Day of Prayer for care of creation. The Orthodox Church was way out in front of other churches about environmental concerns. And 3 years ago, in 2015, Pope Francis added the Catholic Church to that annual day, World Day of Prayer for care for creation. It's a day on which we think about the gifts we have been given in creation and think about our stewardship of that creation. So while there are hurricanes and monsoons tearing places apart, it's a bit strange to think about our care for creation. And on Friday, September 1st, yesterday, Pope Francis and the Ecumenical Patriarch of the Orthodox Church put out a joint statement. And this is the first time on this day of prayer that they put out a joint statement. Let me read one paragraph from that. United by the same concern for God's creation and acknowledging the earth as a shared good, we fervently invite all people of goodwill to dedicate a time of prayer for the environment on September 1st. On this occasion, we wish to offer thanks to the loving Creator for the noble gift of creation and to pledge commitment to its care and preservation for the sake of future generations. After all, we know that we labor in vain if the Lord is not by our side, if prayer is not at the center of our reflection and celebration. Indeed, an objective of our prayer is to change the way we perceive the world in order to change the way that we relate to the world. The goal of our promise is to be courageous in embracing greater simplicity and solidarity in our lives. It's a remarkable line there. The objective of our prayer is to change the way we perceive the world in order to change the way we relate to the world. Isn't that exactly what's happening in the readings today with both Peter and Jeremiah? The Lord is changing the way they perceive the world, their expectations, so they can relate to the world in a new way, a way that is more discerning, more in keeping with God's will. So, rather than thinking of the hurricanes and monsoons as something that goes against this day of prayer, and if you didn't pray yesterday about the environment, do not worry, because there is now, from September 1st, through October 4th is what's called the season of creation. Why October 4th? It's the feast of Francis of Assisi. So sometime during this month, reflect on creation, the gift of creation, and your role in stewardship of creation. And you know, if you think about the hurricane, there may be things that we need to think about there. Maybe some of our expectations about the dangers of nature really have to be rethought. For example, was it discerning the way that Houston grew without really thinking about this, without planning for this? Those are decisions that people make. And we need to think more carefully about what climate change means. We're the stewards, and if we're causing this change, and this is the kind of thing that is at least partially the result of that, we need to think about that more clearly and carefully. Peter thought the Messiah was going to be a king and solve all their problems. Jeremiah thought a prophet would be somebody who would people would follow what he had to say. We think that maybe we can sit back and let creation take care of itself. Well, both the Pope and the Patriarch have requested that during this time we not only think of the great gift, but think about what our role is in that. And like Peter and Jeremiah, maybe our expectations of what that role is and what we should be doing will be upturned, and we will have to think differently about that role. That's what the readings are about tonight. And when it comes right down to it, the only thing that a follower, a friend of the Lord can be certain of, the only expectation that one can have is that all those expectations are going to be upturned in the end.